Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It's the beginning of another week and it's Monday. Every Monday, if you haven't been here for a while, our job is to give you a short podcast that's actionable, that you can use right away to improve your practice and your life. We call them Metric Mondays. And so today we continue the journey to really clarify what this overhead percentage thing is. This week, we go into operations percentage, which is greatly misunderstood by a lot of dental practices. With my amazing co-host, her name is Miranda Beeson. In this episode, we show you exactly what it is, how it's measured, and how to fix it if it's out of control. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and I hope you enjoy your Monday. We'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show podcast. The beginning of another week. It's Monday morning, probably for most of you listening to the podcast. And if you've ever been here on a Monday, you know we do the same thing every Monday. It's called Metric Mondays, a little bite-sized piece of information that you can use on your way to the practice to help you improve your practice and your life. And I have my amazing friend, co-host, co-star, she's actually a star leader. Her name is Miranda Beeson. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Kirk. Thanks so much for having me back. I am fantastic.
Awesome. On a Monday, which is awesome. And we're going to continue down the path. If you listened last week, you know that we went through team compensation percentage. We're going to drill down a little bit more into what overhead exactly is. And Miranda, where are we going today?
You're exactly right. We're going to stay on track with this overhead percentage metric model. And there's some buckets within our overhead. And today we're going to be talking about operational percentage. So what is our operations percent? What aspects of our overhead are the percentage of total revenue spent on the day-to-day operational costs of running the practice? These are usually things like office expenses, software, subscriptions and dues, insurance, like general liability insurance, banking fees, merchant fees, legal fees, coaching fees, postage, anything that really impacts the general day-to-day operations of the practice typically falls into the operations bucket of your overhead. So we're going to remind everyone today a little bit about what overhead is in general and what this particular element is, and then give some key tips on maybe how to tweak things a little bit and make it a little better.
Yeah, what Miranda shared is exactly what operations percentage is. What it exactly is not are brewer tickets, you know, loan payments for equipment. I've seen the weirdest things in there. People go, well, that's an operation expense. I'm like, no, paying your children is not an operations expense. So you want to make sure these are truly things that help the practice function from a day-to-day operational sense. So you want to do that. And the other thing that we shared last week is tracking these. The first step in any change process is telling the truth. So you want to make sure that you get into a regular reporting process, whether it be with us or whoever, you're telling the truth every single week, and you'll be able to get your arms around exactly what this is. But Miranda, let's go here. How does this impact the practice?
Well, it impacts the practice. It could be positive or negative, ultimately, but it's a pull from the revenue. So I think it's important every time we talk about anything that's an overhead expense that we really talk about what is overhead in general before we even get down to these little buckets. Overhead in general, as a reminder, is a percentage of expense that comes from your revenue, from your collections. So we have to operate in a certain way with certain things, with certain people, in order to gross produce the dentistry that we're producing. And then we have that gap that we've talked about so many times, which is our effort gap. And that's the difference between our gross production and our net production. So we have to have certain elements of software or insurance or even team members when we go to the team compensation, like we talked about last time, in order to support the amount of gross production that we're performing on a regular basis. But then we can't necessarily collect on all of that if we have a lot of write-offs, insurance contracts, things of that nature. So when we look at our collections gap, we're saying, okay, of what I can collect on, of my net production, what is my collections percentage? And we really want that to be at 100%. Because of our collected dollars, we are now pulling these expenses. And each of these buckets in our overhead or in our expenses is a percentage of that collections dollar amount. So we want our benchmark for our operations percentage, that bucket within overhead, to be around 8%. Operational costs can quietly creep up on us if we're not monitoring them. And a lot of us do receive that report or that P&L from our accountant, or maybe we're doing that ourselves through QuickBooks and running a P&L report. Do we truly know every element of what falls within this bucket? And are we categorizing everything appropriately? It can really creep up if we're not paying close attention. And while some of the expenses in the operations percent are fixed expenses, there are some that are to some degree variable in that there's a little room for negotiation or strategic oversight just to ensure that it doesn't get out of hand.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one of those things where if you don't pay attention to it, I love what you said, it creeps up on you. And I think Benjamin Franklin said, beware of little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship. So you want to be careful about this. And you have some insights on this as we've talked about this before. So kind of guide us.
Well, a healthy operations percent is going to reflect disciplined spending, strategic purchasing, well-managed systems. You usually have somebody accountable for aspects of, for example, office ordering, things like that, where we can minimize spend as much as possible. Now, I don't ever want someone, when I talk about overhead, I always reference, this doesn't mean we're reusing gloves or we're getting, you know, maybe you don't want to get the cheap Post-it notes because they don't stick to the wall during our team meetings. They fall off. That's okay. You just have to be strategic and plan and budget for it. So when the number gets a little too high, it generally signals there's a bit of supply waste, redundant subscriptions possibly. How many of us don't even know all of the subscriptions that we're currently signed up for because we did a free trial and then we never canceled it? There might be unmanaged vendor costs or even supply blind spots. So if you review your P&L and there's things that are lumped together, for example, that happens a lot when we're working with coaching clients. We help them fill out our GAPS scorecard. Our coaching clients all use a GAPS scorecard where we track and look at where is the money leaving your practice so we can really evaluate true profitability. And one of the things that we do is reference the P&L. And on a lot of P&Ls, there's a category that's just kind of miscellaneous or something that's lumped together, which can be sometimes $6,000 or $9,000. And when you stop and ask the doctor, like, what's in that exactly? A lot of them don't know. And it's not really to fault of their own. It may just be that, like, this hasn't been a focus for me because I did a startup and I am a recent grad and I've been really focused on improving my clinical skills and building a team. And gosh, I never really dug into these small elements of my P&L. But as soon as you see that, it's important to start looking at some of these factors so that you can improve what you can. The biggest change, if your overhead percent is high on operations or any of your buckets, is going to be improving your effort gap and collecting more. Right? Anytime we can collect more, this is going to automatically go down even if we do nothing else. But there are some very tiny little micro changes that we can make within this bucket of operations that can also positively impact that percentage. So I can jump into those now.
Well, can I say one thing? I'm so glad you said that because you know who you are if you're listening. One of my frustrations is when a dentist is so worried about getting cheap gloves and cheaper cotton rolls and complaining about every tiny little thing when they're writing off 42%.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like your focus is in the wrong place. Like let's collect more money instead of worrying about cotton rolls and gloves.
Yeah, I'm bringing pens from home.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And so, all right, I'll stay out of that. stay out of that zone.
I love that you brought that up. And You often use the phrase, our problems aren't our problems. It's the way we think about our problems that are our problems. And Right. That's so true. And it speaks to so many aspects of how we look at the practice. And as a leader, looking at the clinical piece, like, you know, as a clinician that you have certain materials or certain things that really work well for what you're trying to provide. And every element of your practice has that. I mean, don't even threaten a hygienist team to switch like Profi Paste brands, right? It's gonna, or a 2x2 when we're used to a certain type. it's not those little teeny nitpicky things that we're looking at. We're going to go over supplies on a future podcast as well. You can make these micro changes, but you're totally right that like we always have to think like an entrepreneur and a leader and have the bigger mindset being, I wouldn't even have to be worrying about all this little stuff if this effort gap was improved, if I wasn't writing off half of my year to insurance and courtesies and adjustments. So that's a number one when we talk about how can we improve or impact this is what can we do to reduce that difference between our gross production and our net production and then to be able to collect more. But if we want to look at, okay, great, I'm going to make a plan in the next few months. I'm going to maybe drop an insurance or two, but I got to do something today. There's a few little things that you and your team can do for sure within this bucket. One of them is super simple, just auditing what's in your P&L, looking at the software, the subscriptions, making sure that what's within those contracts or what you are subscribed to is still relevant. I know you often will talk about just canceling your credit card every like 18 months and like, hey, they'll
not 18 there, months. I didn't
know. Oh, wait, every 6 months?
Every 6 months. This is a hack. Like, just cancel your credit card every 6 months and then all those charges stop. And then they're like, you're not paying us. And I'm like, I didn't even know I was paying you in the first place. It's amazing. Now, I'm an adventurous, creative person. So I'm signing up for a lot of different things, just testing them. So if you're not like me, if you're like me, you know who you are. Try to do that. Also, one more thing I might suggest. The biggest problem in every practice is always who, Miranda? Who's the biggest problem in any practice?
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble.
No,
let you say it.
It's the leader. And usually like you get so mad about expenses, but really the leader is the biggest drain on overhead all the time. And so we did hear this here at Act Dental. I mean, I'm a big fan of taking away company credit cards. Don't have a credit card for your practice. And you'll be amazed how difficult it is to use your own credit card, keep the receipt and ask to be reimbursed or reduce it for, you know, use this for tax reduction processes. Now, some of you are like, that's so silly. Well, give it a try. You're going to see how fast your practice becomes profitable when you have to go through the rigor of doing that. Ask me how I know.
It happens to everybody. You really don't understand. I just had it happen on my own card the other day. I'm like, wait, what is this $10 right. repeating charge I've been paying for the last 6 months? I don't even know what this is. I guarantee you I signed up for a free trial and forgot that I did. It happens to everybody. And sometimes we have duplicate tools. So you may have Dental Intelligence or Pearl for your AI x-ray software, but you don't even know that Pearl also does insurance verification, and it also has an element that supports your administrative team. And so maybe you have two or three other technology platforms that you're paying hefty subscriptions for when you could just pay an add-on to Dental Intel, or you could just pay a smaller add-on to Pearl. So I think just evaluating what you're investing in around software, subscriptions, things like that can be really helpful. And when it comes to supplies and the front office, now dental supplies, like clinical supplies, have their own bucket. And we're going to talk about that on a future podcast. But there's office supplies that exist within your operational. I mean, printer ink, we don't think about it, but that's really expensive. Sometimes it's cheaper to just get a new printer. But things like that can add up as well. And so you really want to have a budget. One person who has the Amazon login for the practice, not everyone on the admin team. If you have four or five admin team members and they can all log in and order off of Amazon or Office Max, that's going to give you more leeway for problem than if one person, like there's a list that people can add things to when we run out of something, we check the inventory and we have one person accountable for going into Amazon and they know the budget. They know what that budget is that we can spend on a regular basis to stay within a reasonable realm. We can also talk to bank and merchant fees, and sometimes we can negotiate those down, even if it's just a tiny bit. When you look at a year's worth of those fees, it can really add up over time. And if your operations are high, just review your spend with a fine-tooth comb. If you have like a bunch of things in one bucket and you're not really exactly sure what's in there, ask your CPA, or if you're doing your bookkeeping, you might have to get a little more granular. And it can't just be like credit card charge. Like we have to actually pull out what some of those individual elements are so that you can really look through those with a fine tooth comb. And if is everything in that bucket, everything on those particular expenses that are relative to operations, critical to patient care and revenue support? And just ask yourself that question. And if the answer is yes at the end of the day and you've done all these things, you're going to go back up and you're going to look at your effort gap and your collections gap again.
Yeah, it's so well said. And, you know, if you're in a partnership, there's nothing greater that breaks up a partnership or creates more challenges than not having behaviors around how we look at money in the practice. So also just telling stories, 31 years of doing this, I've had many partnerships where there's no rules. Like the senior partner can spend whatever they want and they throw it into operation expenses and the new partner doesn't have that luxury. And what it does is it builds regret, big, big regret. So I'm a big fan of having clear lines of behavior when it comes to money. And when you do that, it's a crazy, crazy healthy principle. So that's very, very important. And it's just important, again, we'll just reiterate, like just track them. Once you track them, you know what they are. So, so well said. Miranda, awesome. I am so grateful. So thank you so much. Any last thoughts before we say goodbye to everybody else on a Monday?
No additional thoughts other than have a great week and do stop and just take a look because feelings are fleeting and the data is the truth. So once you know what your percentage is, you don't have to worry about it anymore. It either is or it isn't something that you need to take action on. And we've given you a few action steps to work from. So it's easy. You got a plan.
Yeah, so well said. And so stick around, Miranda, while we say goodbye to everybody else. But if you're listening to this and you're a dentist, you're like, Miranda, it's not that easy. I don't like the money thing. I didn't go into dentistry about the money thing. If that's you, guess what we do? We actually have a service here called the Practice Assessment, where we'll take all of this apart and we'll tell you exactly what your operation expense percentage is and where it came from and how it relates to collections. So I'm here to tell you for a very nominal fee, you can find out more about your practice than you've ever known in your entire life and why those percentages are what they are and what to do about it. All you have to do is contact Gina, G-I-N-A, on our team, and we'll help you every step of the way. We also have resources.
We didn't even mention SmileSource. And, you know, we're all one big happy family now. And that's a huge element of how practices improve profitability is through being a part of that SmileSource membership and being able to combine some of these expenses or minimize some of these expenses by working with some vetted, trusted partners in the industry. So, yeah.
Yeah, so well said. I wish I had like 30 minutes at the end of this because with all the resources we have, I struggle with which ones to point you to. But Miranda's exactly right. We have all of these resources. And with this community, with SmileSource, we're building the ultimate ecosystem to be able to support private practice. So if you go back in Best Practices Association, you're going to see all of that back there. And we're here to help you every step of the way. So thank you for showing up on a Monday. We're going to keep bringing it. Hope you guys have a great week. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your Monday. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.